Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, Text 33. Nagarhayanti hyarteshu Javishtangri abhivadanam Chandobhyanyatra na brahmam Vayo jaishtasya karanam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The demigods continued, "Do not fear criticism for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relationship to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age. But one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relationship to us, you may become our priest without hesitation." Purport. It is said, Vriddhatvam Vayasavina. One may be senior without being advanced in age. Even if one is not old, one gains seniority if he is senior in knowledge. Vishwarupa was junior in relationship to the demigods because he was their nephew. But the demigods wanted to accept him as their priest. And therefore, he would have to accept obeisances from them. The demigods explained that this should not be the cause for hesitation. He could become their priest because he was advanced in Vedic knowledge. Similarly, Chanakya Pandit advises, Nicha tap uttamam jnanam. One may accept education from a member of a lower social order. The Brahmanas, the members of the most elevated Varna, are teachers. But a person in lower family, such as a family of Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or even Shudras, may be accepted as a teacher if he has knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of this when he expressed this opinion before Ramananda Rai. Kipa vipra kivanyasi shudra kerunai e krishna tatva veta se guru hai. It does not matter whether one is a brahmana, shudra, grahastha or a sannyasi. These are all material designation. A spiritually advanced person has nothing to do with such designation. Therefore, if one is advanced in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his position in human society, he may become a spiritual master. The demigods continued, "Do not fear criticism for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relationship of Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age. But one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relationship to us, you may become our priest without hesitation." So demigods are asking Vishwarup to become their spiritual master. Even though Vishwarup is younger to them. And the purport Prabhupada says that the age doesn't matter when it comes for spiritual advancement. And we also hear in the modern society, especially in the American culture, there used to be a statement that don't trust anyone who are below 30. Beyond 30. So here we see again in the spiritual culture, the seniority of age is given importance always. Especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always respected Advaita Acharya of his age plus his spiritual status. And we also hear that this old person is coming, those who are young in age should respect them, the father, the elderly persons. But when it comes for spiritual advancement, that role could be also loosened, that the senior person is offering obeisance to the person who is younger in age because of his advancement in spiritual knowledge. Once upon a time, Vasishtha Muni was sitting with his son Parashara on his lap. Vyasam Vasishtha Nabdaram Shakte Potram Kalmasham Parashara Dvajamante Sugatatam Taponidam. So Vasishtha is a father and Parashara is his son, and Parashara's son is Vyasadeva and Sudeva Goswami. So Vasishtha Muni was sitting with Parashara, but I was just 7 years old. And then Markandeya Rishi at that time, he was living for years and years. He was very old, very senior. For kalpas he was living. So in this assembly of Vasishtha Muni, Parashara Bhatta, child sitting on the lap and they're discussing some spiritual topic. So this Markandeya Rishi came and saw this satsanga is going on, assembly is going on. And he came and directly went to this Parashara Muni and paid his obeisances to Parashara Muni. And everyone was surprised and shocked that all of the assembly of all the sages, Markandeya Rishi is the senior most because he is living for thousands and thousands of years. And in the assembly of the whole assembly, the junior is just 7-year-old Parashara Muni sitting on the lap of his father Vasishtha. And everybody is surprised and they ask Markandeya Rishi, why did you pay your obeisances to this Parashara? He is just 7-year-old. So then Markandeya Rishi replied that the seniority is determined by how much a person has done devotional service, remembering Krishna the Supreme Lord. How much Hari Bhajan he has done, that is the criteria for seniority. So then he said, I may be living for 7 kalpas, 1 kalpas means thousands of years. But of 7 kalpas, I may not have remembered or done Hari Bhajan for 7 years. But this boy Parashara Muni, he is 7-year-old, but he has done Hari Bhajan, he is remembering Krishna always. So I pay my obeisances to this boy, he is actually senior to me. So the Vedic civilization doesn't see the external only. It sees external as well as internal substance in it. Again we hear in the episode of Madhvacharya, when he wanted to take sannyas, his father was determined that he should not take sannyas. He's a young boy taking care of the family. So father is trying his best to bring Vasudev, Madhvacharya's previous name, back to house. But then he was not ready to come. So his father, he would go and tell his son, come home. And after speaking so many words out of frustration, out of intense affection for the son, his father would pay obeisances to Vasudev. And Vasudev says that if you are paying obeisances to me, that means I am younger to you. In the Vedic civilization, the age is given importance. The elderly person, he has to be respected, he has to pay obeisances. the children, they pay obeisances to the parents every day, the previous tradition, to the senior brahmanas, they pay obeisances. But if a person is taken renounced order or spiritually advanced, then the senior would pay back the obeisances to the juniors. So Madhvacharya said that because you paid obeisances to me, I am junior in age, which means you are accepting me as a sannyasi or a person who is advanced in knowledge. So this is your permission for me to take sannyas. So this way, Madhvacharya accepted sannyas. So we see here again Vedic literature, the internal advancement in the spiritual life is given more important. On the other hand, in the materialistic society, the externals are given more important. For example, the person who has maximum accumulation of wealth, whatever his character would be, but he is considered to be the role model. The person who has accumulated so much of strength, whatever his personality may be, he is accepted as the role model. So the materialist society sees a gross aspect or the external aspect. It doesn't give any value for the internal aspect. But the spiritual life, it gives more importance for the internal aspect than the external aspect. But also, this material society, they always give importance for external aspect, especially the gross senses, that can be gratified. So they can make all kind of propaganda. The advancement in material society means how a person can take care of their gross body. That's why they always make sure that people should not be getting advanced in their subtle aspect. So they want to bring the intelligence of people, they want to bring the mental power of people to the gross level. Because if you are intellectually advanced and mentally you are powerful, then you won't be giving importance for the external aspect. So they make all kind of propaganda by which that you forget about the internal importance, going deep within, but they want to make you always on the superficial platform. So three people work very hard for this thing, to make the people always on the grass platform, not to go the internal platform. These three are the scientist and the politicians and the industrialists. So the Kali Yuga is been run by these three people. And they want to make sure that people should not be in touch with their internal abilities or internal platform. So they want to make sure people should remain in the grass platform. What is grass platform means that forget more and more about your the subtle parts. So if you want to forget subtle part, what you have to do? They have to remove God from the picture. Because the subtlest of subtle is the soul's relationship with Supreme Lord. And then comes one's identity as a spirit soul. And then comes intellectual, mental, and finally comes grass senses. So the modern propaganda is that the maximum when a person is in touch with the grass senses, with the sense object, he is advanced, completely opposite to the spiritual knowledge. The spiritual platform, the person is very less care for the external appearance or body. You see the Goswamis, they live in a very simple dress. Or the Swami Avadutas, we have, they don't bother about their external senses. So they give more importance for the internal things, so that they are situated in their subtlest of constitutional position. But if that has been allowed, then the modern society, the modern aristocratic people, they cannot rule the citizens. So the politicians want to make sure that the people are maintained in their grass platform. So what they do? If the politicians want to get vote for them, if they want to be in the power, they have to get the vote. To get the vote, they have to pamper the people around them. So how they can pamper the people? They have to encourage their grass needs more and more. They say, put vote for us and we will give you television or we will give you this, that, all kind of propaganda. And the politicians are afraid that the people have sufficient thing, then there is no need, there won't be any need. We cannot subjugate them, we cannot control them. So they ask the scientists that they invent some more new ideas so that people should not be satisfied about what they have. They need to hanker more and more for the grass enjoyment. So the scientists in the laboratory, in the research laboratory, they make all kind of research. That you may be sleeping in the bed, but we'll build a new bed for you, it's air bed or water bed. And then it's a need created, invention created. So the scientists, they strain their brain to invent new things, and then the politicians pump money and power to the industrialist that you make the idea of the scientist into reality. And the industrialists, they make so much of propaganda, so much of products and so many inventions, and that comes in the market and that will attract the people so that the people are controlled and they are maintained in the grass platform. And in order to induce the people to become succumb to these artificially created needs to keep them on the grass platform, the politicians and the industrialists, they also get the use of the media. Through media they propagate that you have to have this, you have to have this. If you don't have this, you'll be miserable. Whatever cloth you may have, whatever position we may have, you have to have this also. In this way, the modern propaganda is that they want to make sure that the living entities are maintained in their grass platform. They are always maintained in the self-gratification platform, which doesn't allow them to go internal. So we see all over that the more the people are involved in grass platform, in the bodily self-gratification, the more they forget about their subtle needs. That is the need of the mind, intelligence and the real ego. But then the whole purpose of their doing this is what? That we want to maintain this grass body very nicely. The body should be satisfied. But because they are not following the Vedic instruction, even though they make so much of propaganda, hard work to keep the grass body satisfied, they miserably fail in that. Instead of all hard endeavor to maintain the grass body through self-gratification, the grass body gives them more and more misery. But in the other hand, in the spiritual practice, though the grass body is not given so importance, but it automatically takes care of both subtle and grass body aspect because of the spiritual practice. So we see here, we see the classical example of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita starts with the scene that Dhritarashtra is telling Sanjaya what happened in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So Dhritarashtra here uses the word Mamaka Pandava Chaiva Kiva Kuruvate Sanjaya. So here it exhibits the grassest of grass. So Dhritarashtra is telling Mamaka Pandava, my sons and the Pandu sons. So that is a representation of grass identification. Dhritarashtra is telling that what happened to my sons and the Pandu sons. So the grass attachment is there. And Dhritarashtra is thinking that my grass attachment to my sons will give them security in life. He is convinced about that. And he is afraid that the Pandavas should not go back without fighting. Because Dhritarashtra is thinking in the Kaurava side, there so many Maharathis are there, Duryodhana is there, his powerful son, and the 100 sons and so many Akshoni Senas. So Dhritarashtra, in his grass attachment, he is thinking that the Pandavas should not go back without fighting because of the influence of the holy place. They should fight and Kaurava should win the war. So he is so much of attached that his son should win the war. So the first verse of Bhagavad Gita starts with the grass's attachment of Dhritarashtra. But then, the last verse of Bhagavad Gita ends with the subtlest attachment, or the real attachment, where Sanjaya says, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dharudraha, Tatra Shri Vijaya Bodhir, Dhruva Ritir Matir Mama. So, Mamaka Pandava Chaiva and Matir Mama. So, both these places, Mama or mine is used. But one represents the grass ignorance, that this is everything belongs to me. This is for my enjoyment. But the Gita's last verse also ends with Mama or mine. So, what is this mine here? This mind here is that Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partha Dhanurdharaha. Wherever there is Krishna, the Supreme Yogeshwar, and wherever there is Arjuna, the best of the archer, there will be victory and morality. That is mine, opinion. So Sanjaya here is telling the real ego, that the real ego is that one should be situated in the subtlest of one's relation with Krishna. What is that? Jivera Surupohi Krishna Nityadas. But when a person misses this subtlest relationship with Krishna, the constitutional relation, then he cannot help himself being situated in the grass platform, like Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is because he is not understood Krishna Supreme Lord, he is staying in the grass platform and thinking himself as a controller and master. Similarly, the materialists of society also, in the Kali Yuga especially, they maintain themselves in the grass platform. So, for them, they have to forget God. Because if you remember God, you can't be on the grass platform and enjoy your senses. So, what is the propaganda? Remove God from the picture. So, the scientists, they make this Darwin theory, that God is out of picture, in the place of God, monkey is put, that we are came from monkeys. Then nobody can question, you can enjoy your senses. Forget about your subtle advancement in spiritual life. And then another propaganda is that the world, which is object of enjoyment, should also be detached from God. So for that, they created a Big Bang theory, remove God from the picture. So the man is removed of his origin from God, and the universe which is to be enjoyed also removed from the God. So then, the propaganda is that enjoy this world. Nobody can control you. So that is the whole problem with the materialist society. But the spiritual society is that always gives importance for our connection with the Supreme Lord. And the more a person is connected to the Supreme Lord, he goes more and more within, from the grass platform to the subtlest platform. From bodily platform, the bodily needs are reduced further and further. So here we may say that externally on the grass platform, Vishwarupa is not very elderly person. He is not very elder. He is not advanced in age. But the spiritual subject, the spiritual perspective, they see the internal advancement. You are grassly, you are not advanced, you are not aged, or you are not accumulated wealth, or you may not have so much of strength, bodily strength. But if a person is advanced by the amount of spiritual wealth or spiritual substance he has, so that is what the spiritual advancement means. The person more connected with Krishna, and he is situated in a highest platform. Even if he is a newborn child, or even a person may be 100 years old but doesn't have any God consciousness, he is not considered to be advanced. The real advancement is how much a person is connected with Krishna. A person may have all kind of opulences, but if he is not connected with Krishna, he is considered to be low class. The worst cases in the world we see, that people want to enjoy or gratify the creations of the Lord, but they want to reject the Lord. So that is like mentality of, you see, these so-called politicians and scientists. So the whole propaganda is to gratify or exploit the resource of the material nature. But if they tell them about how do you get these materials, how are you getting all these things, they don't give credit to the God, credit to God. They say it's our product, it's our endeavor. For example, once one industrialist came to Srila Prabhupada and told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'm having a factory, I'm an industrialist. Then Prabhupada asked, what business you do? And this man, industrialist, he said, Prabhupada, we make glasses, glass business. Then Prabhupada asked, where did you get the glass from? He said, we get the glass from silicon. Oh, silicon. Where did you get the silicon from? Silicon we get from the earth. Then Prabhupada said, that means you are a thief. But then he said, oh, Swamiji, because the earth belongs, Prabhupada's earth belongs to Krishna, and you are stealing from Krishna, so you are a thief. But he said, Swamiji, but we also give some donation to, you know, temple and all. Then Prabhupada, that means you are a small thief. So Prabhupada doesn't see the external. People are, you know, want to give some charity, do something, and they feel they are very charitable, they are in a pious life. But real piety means recognizing the proprietorship of the Lord and completely dedicating oneself, not becoming proud that I am giving something. One should be humble that I am so much attached, at least I am trying to give a little bit and be humble, not to become proud. So Prabhupada says you are a small time thief. So that means accepting the proprietorship of the Supreme Lord. So if a person wants to exploit the resources of the Lord without accepting the Lord's proprietorship, then he is a thief. So we see the big demons who are like the modern scientists and the industrialists and politicians, they are like small demonic people. But we see in the graphic example of Ravana. Ravana wanted to enjoy the energy of the Lord or the property of the Lord. That is Mother Sita. She doesn't want to, he was envious of Lord Ravana. Why he has to enjoy the property? I want to enjoy. So he wanted to kidnap Mother Sita for his own enjoyment. But not wanted to recognize the proprietorship of Supreme Lord Sri Ram. So what happened to him? He was destroyed. So people want Ram Rajya, they want to keep the kingdom, they want to expand the kingdom, but they don't want to accept the proprietorship of the Supreme Lord. They want the grass sense gratification, they want to keep their grass body relationship with the material world. But they forget their subtle body. The subtlest of subtle is that the soul's relationship with the Supreme Lord. So what happened to such people? They cannot maintain their status quo. They'll be destroyed. On the other hand, if a person is only attached to the Supreme Lord, but doesn't recognize his energies, he is also not considered a very advanced platform. This is also demanding. That we accept the Supreme Lord, but we don't accept his devotees. We accept the spiritual master, but we don't accept the devotees. And that is also considered to be the fall down, or that is also considered to be the not on the highest platform. We see here, again, when Prabhupada was in preaching in the Western tour, in Hawaii, Prabhupada went, and there are many devotees who are struggling hard, and they are some of them maintaining their four regulative principles, chanting, some of them are falling down in now and then. Prabhupada encouraged them and helped them, and told them to continue. But there was one devotee who was a new devotee, following rules strictly, chanting 16 rounds, following four regulative principles. And he came to Prabhupada and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am seeing your senior devotees, they are all following things, they are doing this, they are doing that, and they are all kind of problem they are creating. So started discussing politics and other things. Then Prabhupada called the temple president and told, this devotee just joined, but he is creating politics. So even though Prabhupada could tolerate the accidental mistakes of the seniors who are struggling hard and encourage them, but Prabhupada told this devotee should be removed from this place. This devotee should be punished. So, Prabhupada again and again emphasizing that spiritual life is not yourself and your own spiritual advancement, your own power. But spiritual life goes, Krishna means Krishna and his devotees. Spiritual master means spiritual master and his disciples. So the more a person goes deep internally into spiritual life, he is seeing the connection with Krishna and his subjects. But if a person only wanted to go to Krishna without devotees, then that is like, here the example of Shurpanaka. She wanted to approach Lord Ram but wanted to kill Mother Sita. So what happened to her? Her nose was cut. So that is a problem in the modern society. One kind of people, they want to exploit the Lord's energy. They want to forget Lord. Materialistic government, industrial propaganda, modern economic development. They want to exploit the energies of the Lord. But we don't want Krishna, we don't want Lord Ram. Rama Raja, but no Lord Ram. And they're like Ravana, completely destroyed. Their hopes are destroyed. On the other hand, there are impersonalistic school or Sahajiyas. They say that there is no one between us and Supreme Lord. This world is mithya, illusion. And only me and Krishna, or only me and Guru, I don't want any of his energies. I have direct relation with Krishna or the Absolute Truth. And what happened to them? If they separate the energy of the Lord from the energy, they also categorize as non-devotees. The impersonalistic school or Sahajiyas. But the real proper balance is that one has to accept externals, that is like external in the sense that a person's age or his relationship with Krishna. But at the same time, there should be the internal mode that Krishna is non-different from his devotees. The devotees are non-different from Krishna. So accepting both external and internal balances the devotional principle. So that means accepting Krishna with his devotees, not separating either of them alone. Then a person is situated in a proper spiritual platform. Otherwise, he is bound to commit mistakes. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quoting a verse discussing with Ramananda Roy. Kibhavi prakriva nyasi shudra kenan noy. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see when Mahaprabhu started discussing with Ramananda Roy, he is starting his discussion with Ramananda Roy by asking him, please tell me the process of devotional service. In that episode, Kaviraj Goswami is writing a very beautiful verse which summarizes the whole topic. He says, Sanchari Rama Vidabhakta Mege Swabhakta Siddhanta Chaya Mritani. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is compared to the ocean and Ramananda Roy is compared to the cloud. So how the cloud is formed? The cloud is not formed on its own. The ocean creates the cloud. And then the cloud again pours water back into the ocean. So here, Kaviraj Goswami says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like an ocean who created the cloud of Ramananda Roy. And then, Ramananda Roy again, like a cloud pouring water back into the ocean of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when the cloud pours water into the ocean, what happened? The shells, sometimes they come up and they drink a drop of water from the ocean, the rain water. And that water becomes the pearls. So, Kaviraj Goswami says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Gaurabdhi, or ocean. And this ocean created a cloud of Ramananda Roy, his dear devotee. And this dear devotee, Ramanandra, is pouring again the water back into the ocean. And this ocean becomes more beautiful by Tadyatva Ratnalayatam Prayati. So here, the intimate connection between the devotee and Supreme Lord is discussed. So Mahaprabhu is completely self-satisfied. He doesn't have, Krishna is self-satisfied. But Krishna, in order to increase his pastime, increase his rasa, he deals with his devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows everything, but still he empowers Ramananda Rai to speak back to him the conclusive truths of devotional service. So the ocean doesn't need any water from external sources, but still the cloud are pouring water into the ocean and the ocean accepts the water. So the mega or the cloud has received its source of water from the ocean only. The cloud cannot have water other than the ocean. So similarly, the living entities are created from the, expanded from the ocean or Supreme Lord. We are part and parcel of Krishna. So the, just like clouds, wherever they pour water, yada gacchati sagaram, wherever the water may fall, but final destination is the ocean. So similarly, our destination or our constitutional position is to serve Krishna, the source of all of us. And then in this service, what happens? Even though the ocean is self-satisfied, but the ocean becomes more beautified. So when the devotees are serving Krishna, not only the devotees are feeling satisfied, performing their constitutional duty or constitutional service, but Krishna also becomes more and more glorified and satisfied. Just like when the ocean receives the water from the cloud, it becomes filled with Ratnalayatam Prayati. The water drops which falls from the ocean becomes a cause of its ratnas in the ocean. Similarly, Krishna and the devotee's combination is so intimate, the devotees cannot stay without Krishna, and Krishna, even though he is Atma Rama, he doesn't want to stay away from Krishna. So accepting Krishna and his devotees, that is the subtlest of the most refined understanding of Krishna consciousness. When a person doesn't understand that, then he cannot help himself giving importance for grass aspect. He has to maintain himself on the grass platform, enjoying the sense gratification. So here we see that the spiritual life, the grass external platform are given less importance, but what is seen is the subtlest of all, that is how much a person is advanced in spiritual life, that means his relationship with Hari. If that is there, everything is okay. If that is not there, then all external things are useless. So that's why when Bhaktivinoda Thakur took his son Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to meet his caste spiritual master, Bhaktivinoda Thakur paid obeisances, but Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not paying obeisances. She was asked, why your son is not paying obeisances to me? Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur replied, you don't have the strength to bear his obeisances. So it apparently appears that Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a small boy and his spiritual master is supposed to be highly aged. But the spiritual power, the relationship with Hari is considered to be more important. Otherwise, then the external things have no value completely. So this way we see here, the age, the external age is not given very importance, but the internal aspect of how much a person is advanced in spiritual practice. So that's the sum and substance here. The demigods are approaching Vishwarup for performing their ritualistic ceremonies to win over the demons. Hare Krishna for this speculative class. So the service is given to me. If there is any correction, comments? story of Bhaktisiddhanta and Harry? Going to your friends?
You don't have the strength to receive my obeisance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was always respectful to his teacher. He never broke the etiquette since he was a disciple officially. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, being not a disciple, he could say those words.
Radha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.